Your life depends on it, because you're thinking, oh, I remember, and then you don't really, and then it can get nasty, you know. But in the same way, you know, we're going to go through some basics, and it might sound familiar, and you think, oh, I know this stuff, but it's really crucial that we kind of take a hold of the opportunity to hear from God, to get the basics down. And very importantly, I want to challenge you to listen a bit differently. Listen, yes, for the word of God for you in this season, but also listen because you're going to be taking somebody else down that road as well. Each of us are called to be disciple makers, and in the weeks coming, there's going to be opportunities to get equipped and opportunities to say, okay, these are basics, but I need to be able to convey these basics to someone else out there. Like Marna was saying, somebody that's that needs to know the love of Christ. And I want to be equipped to be able to walk this road with him. So don't sit back. Grab a hold of the opportunity to be equipped. Amen. Okay, firstly, we're going to look at a basic relationship with God. And in terms of going into a battle, you know, before you can go into battle with any army, you need to kind of make sure you know who's your commander-in-chief. You need to have an agreement about who's the guy in charge, because when the instructions come down the chain of command, there must be no confusion about that. And let's read in Joshua chapter 5. Verse 13, it came to pass, when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, are you for us or for our adversaries? So he said, no, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped and said to him, what does my Lord say to his servant? And the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, take your sandal off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy. And Joshua did so. And we see this incredible, this is one of my favorite bits of that time, where we see that Joshua has this incredible encounter with God, and he meets with a pre-incarnate Jesus who comes as the commander of the armies of the Lord. And it must have been incredibly scary, you know. But we see from his response, you know, Joshua just hits the floor and on his face, and he worships. And but the amazing thing is, we notice that he doesn't really answer. Jesus doesn't really answer Joshua's question. Joshua says, so, were you for us? Are you against us? You know, I reckon he was wondering, should he take him on, you know, type of thing. And then Jesus very pertinently says, no, that's not, you know, it doesn't need to answer the question. The question is, who are you following? I've come as the commander of the armies of the Lord, and you need to decide, are you going to be with me or not? And it kind of makes the choice easy, because, you know, it must have been very scary. But, you know, and that's kind of the first place we need to be when we, before we embark on a journey together, is to say, okay, we are following Christ as our commander-in-chief. He is the King of Kings. He's the Lord of all. And he's the one who decides when we move. He's the one who decides how we move and where we move. This morning we sent Bernay and Bianca. They are on their way back to South Africa. And it's so encouraging, because they really feel they've been sent by God. They're going to Johannesburg, which isn't everybody's first choice. But it's amazing, because it's, you know, they're going with a clear instruction from the Lord, being sent by him. And that's how God operates, you know. His plan that takes us beyond many boundaries. And we need to be open to hear where he wants to put us. In which family does he want to put us? In which body does he want to connect us in? Where does he want to plant us? Where does he want us to prosper and flourish? Okay, and then we're going to be looking at we're going to be looking at salvation, just basics on that in the next week or so. We're going to look at how we relate to the Trinity. You know, sometimes people have questions around that, and it's good. And again, there's a lot of people out there that have questions, so it's good that we kind of stand still at this, get clear, what is God, where are we at, you know, and how can I explain this to someone else. And then secondly, once you've decided, yes, this is my commander, Jesus Christ, he's my Lord, he's my King, You know, in just as a when a father, when you're preparing a family trip, when the dad, when the plans have been made, if you want to have fun on the trip, there must be someone with the final word. You know, there must be a dad that can say, no, this is where we're going. You know, you can't have five navigators. You can't have three opinions in every turn. You know, the dad says, this is where we're going. And once we've established that, we're following our Father God, we know who our commander is, then the next step is to... is in the Christian life is baptism, is when you make a public declaration. You make sure everybody else knows that you're following Jesus and that you have made a decision about who's your commander. And it's a great declaration that we make. Something that, I mean, if you look in Galatians chapter 3, verse 27, it says, therefore, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And it's very powerful. You know, it's kind of you putting on Jesus Christ. You're kind of making a declaration. It's like before you go into a sports game or something, make sure you've got the right colors on. We're even in a battle. Make sure people can identify whose side you're on. And we put on Christ. We put on the person of Christ, the character of Christ. Very powerfully, we... In baptism, we identify with the death of Christ and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We walk in that resurrection power. So we're going to stand still a bit at that one Sunday and make sure we're all on the same page and go through the basics of that powerful confession, that powerful declaration that we need to do. You know, when you're in a sports team, it's good to know which side you're on, specifically in this contact sport, you know. I remember once at school, I played a rugby game, and there was this huge guy. No, but really big, okay? I'm not exaggerating. A really heavy, big guy. And he tackled me quite, he did a really good job. And he grabbed me around my arms. I couldn't, you know, even dodge or anything. He came from behind, and I couldn't even pass the ball or anything. But in any case, he basically put me face down into the ground at quite a speed, like at this kind of angle, and because I was running and he was running, you know, so, and I hit the ground like this, and I lost all the skin on this side of my face, and I got concussion, but when I got up, I was fine, you know. Everybody asked me, are you okay? No, 100%, no problem, you know. Looking a bit funny, walking a bit skew, and then when they saw me walking to the wrong side of the field, to stand with the wrong team, they knew I wasn't okay. You know, I had some concussion. I needed to leave the field. But you know, so that's not cool. You know, you need to know which side are you on, where you're going, and that's what happens in baptism. You're basically making a declaration in the natural and in the spiritual, saying, "I've identified with Jesus Christ," and it's very, very powerful. Secondly, after that, we're gonna look at our relationship with the Holy Spirit, and we can look at walking in the gifts and in the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And you know, it's something that we as charismatics, or you know, born again spiritual believers, often we get blasé about it, and we say, "Yeah, we know about that stuff." But you know, I really have such an urgency that the Lord wants to bring us back to an intimacy with the Holy Spirit that we've been lacking and we've been missing. Missing an intimacy of hearing His voice, as we just saw again tonight. Just how badly God wants to speak, you know, through all of us. And how often we miss that still small voice. And so we're going to stand still at how, you know, what does it mean to live in a relationship with the Holy Spirit? What does it mean to be baptized with the Holy Spirit? And as the scripture says, desire spiritual gifts and to stir up the gift that is in you. And then also the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, you know, love, joy, and peace, and patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. So many amazing things that we read about, and they all are kind of, you know, even as I read it now, there's some conviction going on inside, you know. And often we want to make it happen. We put in some effort and say, okay, I'm going to become more patient and pray about it, and then it doesn't work, and I'm patient, you know. And but it's fruit. The fruit of the Spirit is something, it's fruit, it grows when we live a life in the Spirit, and when we are filled with the Spirit, and when we continually walk in the Spirit. It's something that you can, it's not something you can make happen. It's a fruit of a relationship. with God. Let's read from 2 Corinthians 10. 3-5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And then we see that, you know, the Lord wants to return us to the place of truly walking in the Spirit and not warring and trying to do something in the flesh. And, you know, it feels like you're hitting your head against the wall, you're getting nowhere. But really warring in the Spirit. And as we said a week or two ago, learning to hear from God, learning to respond when He speaks. Often that battle is happening here in the mind. Often the biggest part of that battle is in the thoughts and is this God, isn't it, you know, what, and kind of discerning between what's happening in our heads. And that's just what the scripture is talking about, is where we can tear down everything that's not of God, walk in the victory of the cross, and really discern what is of God. And again, our relationship with the Holy Spirit is crucial in that. Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. And we're going to look at that. What does it mean to pray in the Spirit? What does it mean to walk in that continual relationship with God and with the Holy Spirit? Being empowered by the Spirit. And, you know, we're looking at that warfare and that the weapons of our warfare, you know, the sword of the Spirit. And I might have used that example, but, you know, I often think of this picture of us coming into a difficult situation or in an altercation in the Spirit, and we kind of think, okay, now I need to get out the sword of the Spirit, and we rip, you know, whip out our sword of the Spirit, and then we realize, oh my goodness, it's only this long. You know, there's my knowledge of the Word, or I haven't really filled myself with the Word, and now I'm in this situation, and you know, I feel like I've been caught unawares, and that's partly part of this preparation time, is just to cover basics, just fill ourselves with the Word, fill ourselves and equip ourselves for when God wants to move. Okay. And the gifts of the Spirit are not only, as you know, things we war in the Spirit with, but very much to serve the body of Christ, to serve the family of God, but also to serve those around the family. And it's been so... That's just such an urgency, you know. The Lord is really, you know, we know God to be a miracle working God, somebody that heals and delivers us, somebody that saves. And it's just such a place where God wants to return us to a place where we can minister His love to people in a way that it's real, in a way that they can experience His power, you know. I mean, I remember, you know, sharing with somebody there at the King's Cross station, and God healed them right there. And just, you know, you get such a desire that God, for God to restore stuff like that happening to us in our daily walk, in just terms of, okay, there's a need, and God wants to meet that need, and we can pray for someone, and we can expect them to be healed, and we can flow in the gifts, and we can minister the love of God to those around us, to those at our workplace, to our neighbors. And they're to serve the body, those around the body, and to bring glory to God. And in terms of just getting practical around that, I don't know if you've been reading the newsletter, but we've got one or two reports there of what's called SOS. You might have heard of that. It's the guys are busy with in South Africa. It's called the School of the Supernatural. And we've been hearing amazing testimonies of guys just going out to serve people with the love of God. And for instance, they would go and put up a gazebo, a little tent at a trance festival, and there's drugs and alcohol and just crazy stuff going on all weekend, and it's the most crazy things. You know, people come there with their family, little kids, and the little kids wander around while the parents are high, and it's just really people searching and looking for God. And and then there's little stalls normally, these festivals, with food, and then sometimes spiritual things happening, like you can do, I think sometimes some of them have like readings and all kinds of things. And what happens to see us and the guys, they put up a little tent, and they put up a banner saying, you know, spiritual healing, spiritual cleansing, physical healing, I don't know what else it says, but it's basically just an invitation. And people come because they're searching. people come looking, and they're coming with needs. And we've just seen God just do incredible miracles, you know, healing people, delivering, saving people. It's just amazing how when people come with a need, looking for something, how the Lord meets them right there where they're at. And I want to just encourage you that this is something that God wants to, I believe, bless us with here, just that boldness to minister the love of God in that way. So Pastor Sias is coming. He's going to come in, and we're trusting the Lord for the impartation of what's been happening there. And just, again, stirring a boldness in us to walk in these gifts of the Spirit. So he's coming on the weekend of the 30th, the 30th is a Monday, so the weekend of the 29th of May, which is a bank holiday weekend. So I know some of you have got stuff organized, but really try, if you can at all be there on the Monday. Pastor Sias will be ministering in church on the Sunday, the 29th, and then on the Monday, which is the bank holiday, we're going to be spending some time together and getting practical around these things and trusting God for that impartation. And then we're going for practical afterwards. I'm hoping to organize something. So if that sounds scary to you, then please be there. And I've got such an expectation because, you know, there's such a need all around us for to be able to know the love of God in a real practical way. And so we're really trusting for that. So pray with us for that and join us on the 30th. And then as we're going through this preparation time in the next few weeks, it's important that every part of the family, every person, you know, in the family, every member knows what their role is. So you'll find that we're going to have some shifts, especially in the small group structure. That's why we're having the leadership meeting. We want to kind of just thrash it through and pray together and hear from God. But there's going to be changes in roles, okay? So you need to just be aware of that. Every member's got a role to play. It doesn't mean one is more important than the other one, but really trusting the Lord for every member to walk in their gifting, okay? So in humility, this is the time where we need to encourage one another in our gifts and, you know, not get upset if my role changes slightly, but really just to go with God, what God is doing. So I want to really challenge you with that and encourage you to be at that meeting and to really pray for us in this time, that we would really hear God and make the changes that are necessary. At the same time, we're going to see changes of a different nature, but I'm going to chat about that in a moment. So, yeah, be aware that there are going to be some shifts, specifically in the small group structure, some changes, but I think it's something to look forward to. Okay. All right, so that's roughly what we're looking forward to in terms of the next few weeks, in terms of what we're going to be preparing for. And then, but then importantly, you know, we talk about the promised land, and people ask me, you know, what does that mean? Is it a place? Is it like a place where the sun shines every day and there's no tax and stuff like that? But the promised land, when we're talking about this here, is not a geographical place. And the purpose of God, as I said before, is not a destination or a place that you can define there. If you reach that spot and you pitch your tent there, that's the place. You know, it's very much a place of pursuing the purpose of God and following Him. And you know, it's not a geographical place you can plot on a map. And I was so blessed this morning. Bernay is one of our worship leaders. He was, like I said, going back to South Africa. He was saying that the Lord has really challenged him that the kingdom of God has, you know, got no country boundaries or like borders here or there. It's wherever the Lord calls us and wherever He takes us. And even as a family together, when we're pursuing the purpose of God, we need to be open to hear from the Lord. You know, where is He taking us? What changes do we need to make? And it's really a place of pursuing the purpose of God and walking in the victory and possessing that land that He has already bought for us, that victory that He has won for us on the cross. And as the Israelites, as they were camping out before entering the promised land, they could see a bit of the promised land. Okay, I don't think they couldn't see all of it. I think they could see Jericho, and they could make their plans. The Lord gave them specific strategy, and they took and possessed the promised land bit by bit by bit as the Lord led them. And in the same way, we're going to take it chunk for chunk. As God shows us something, we're going to focus on that. As the one city, or, you know, I'll explain to you what these things are that God is showing us now, and the things that we need to kind of put our faith together for. And then as we move on and on, you know, obviously God will show us more, and we'll continue to walk in that. Okay. All right, we said a few weeks ago that God is calling us to be a family on and with a mission. And this is basically part of the mission that God is giving us for now. And you might remember we mentioned that after we've camped out to become a family, we're going to trust God to shift our focus to much more outward focus, much more missional focused, and to really trust to see in which way He wants us to serve the communities that He's put us in. Okay, so if you read with me from Joel chapter 3, it's 13 and 14. Excuse me. 13. Put in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, go down, for the winepress is full. The vats overflow, for the wickedness is great. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. And it's such an urgency in the scripture, you know, urgency that the harvest is ready. The harvest is great and it's ready. With such an urgency for so many people that are in that valley of decision. It's not a place, okay? It's that a place of having to make a choice between life and death, having to choose whether they're going to follow God or not. So many people, as I said, searching for God in so many places. I mean, when we go and visit the psychic fair in Weybridge to pray and to minister there, there's so many people that are looking for spiritual things, that are searching. And that's what he's talking about here. So many that are in the valley of decision. And there's such an urgency in the spirit for the harvest. And if you look around us at the signs of the times, you know, people always say that it's a cliche thing. But if you think about 10, 20, 20 years ago, if you read that scripture that goes, you know, rumors of wars and, you know, wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes and natural disasters and things, you were thinking, wow, that sounds unreal. But now you can just have to put on the news and it's there. You know, it's war this side and that side and this natural disaster after that one. And it's the sign of the times we're coming into. And this is an urgency for us to really say, okay, Lord, we need to get to the people that you want us to get to. And we need to be faithful with what you're calling us to do. And so, yeah, we're shifting our focus to more missional. And if you recognize a need in your community, in your street where you're living in, you need to tell us, okay? We're not only looking at big projects and whatever. It's those little things that God alerts us to that we need to be faithful with. So if you spot something in your neighborhood, please talk to us about it. We're going to look at ways that the home groups can serve the community in very practical ways. Getting out there, being God's hands and feet on the ground where it matters. We're going to, as we mentioned before, do like intercongregational outreaches. We're going to soon give you dates, so prepare for those. If you want to be a part of an outreach team to go and bless one of the congregations, be ready for that. Pray for us for that. Another thing that's coming up is the Lord is alerting us to, you know, that part of the vision that says generations. And we can really trust in God for ways to reach more generations. So we're going to trust Him to reach more age groups in Shine and Children's Church, but also to get a foot in the door in the youth, maybe more older kids as well, and high school kids. So there's such a need, as you will probably know, amongst high school and amongst the youth in this nation. So if you have a heart for youth, or even if you don't, pray, trust God for His strategy in this community, trusting to start youth groups. To really start to make an impact in those different generations. Okay. And then the Gates School, as you know, we're starting a school. We're in the final stages of our negotiations with the place that we want to rent for the building. And it's exciting times, exciting changes happening. But that will be probably one of our main ways of reaching the community and impacting on the community. So please continue to pray with us. Get involved where you can. As soon as we have that building secured, we're going to do some renovations, and we're going to need your help with that as well. Whether you a DIY person or not, we'll find something for you to do. An exciting thing is the chances are very good that we'll move our services to that building as well. So then we don't have to pay rent in two places. It's going to mean moving our services there, probably mean moving service times as well. So be aware, okay? Don't get a fright when things change. God is moving, and we need to move with Him. Okay, it's going to probably be in Rains Park, where the school is at. Like I said, good news for some of you, not so good for others. But I want to really encourage you. Just God is calling us, and as we're moving, be ready to move with Him. Okay, so likewise in Tooting and Weybridge, we're looking at changes of times and venues and all kinds of things. It's just to make sure we keep in step with what God is saying. Obviously, the more permanent venue we have, the less setup there is, which will make some of you glad. But then we can use that time on more, other things. We can make sure we invite our neighbors. We can, there's always something to do, but we can be more efficient on that as well. Okay, so something to look forward to. And then, part of our vision, God has called us to reach nations, and He's called us to plant churches. So as we continue in this season, please continue to pray with us. We're trusting the Lord for direction in terms of church planting, whether it be in the greater London area, in the UK, in Europe, wherever He opens the door, wherever He directs us. So we're continuing to pray in terms of preparing ourselves so that when the call comes, we're not caught unawares, that we're ready to move. Okay. So each of us here are called to be disciple makers. And I believe each of us here are called to lead. Each of us here are called to be part of a church plant in some way or another. And I really, really encourage you. Keep your eyes open. Keep your passport up to date. But exciting times are ahead. So just keep on praying with us for that. And again, if the Lord speaks, if the Lord gives you a passion for Afghanistan, come and speak to us. Have you got it? Gabarin will speak afterwards. Amen. Okay. Basically, we're going to end here. Before we go together on a journey as a family, before we take a trip together, it's important to know I'm part of this. I'm part of the family. And this is what we've been talking about for these past weeks and month and a bit, and was it not, almost 2 months. But the reality of it is something else, to really live it, to really be a family, to really look out for one another, is sometimes a bit of a greater challenge, to really walk in what God has called us to do. And, I remember friends of ours, family friends, when they went away on a family holiday, they used to invite somebody that didn't have a family, somebody from an orphanage, or some people that they were kind of building relationship with over many months. And I remember often, I was with them on one holiday, and at the beginning it's a little bit awkward because this one boy specifically, I can just imagine now you're in this, you're part of this family and you're on holiday, but how much of this is yours? How much liberty do you have? Do you have the liberty to open the fridge and help yourself? That type of thing. And the Lord just pressed on my heart that there's really a time here when He wants all of us to have the liberty to say, okay, this is my family. This is where I'm at, and this is where God has planted me, and I can have liberty to be part of what God is doing, and to take up my responsibility in what God is doing. I remember a story from when Shofar just started. There was a guy that took this very literally. And he used to just walk into somebody's house and say, "How's it?" And then go to the fridge and help himself, type of thing. You know? And culturally, I think some people had a bit of a problem with it. But he really got this all things in common, acts, church, type of principle, really got it down. He was very comfortable with that. And we laugh about stuff like that. But, you know, I really believe in the Spirit. There's really a place where we need to come to a place where we can say, "I belong. This is where I'm at. And this is my family. And I have liberty to love and be loved. I have liberty to be straight with someone and to receive a straight word from someone. And to really to have that fellowship that comes with a family." And in John chapter 1, verse 12, John writes, "But to all who did receive him," that's Jesus, "who believed in his name, he gave right to become children of God." And that invitation stands, that invitation to become a part of the family. This is the ESV version, English Standard. And he says, basically through Jesus Christ, that invitation stands for us to become a part of the family of Christ, the family of God as a whole. But also God calls us to a local family. And as we stand tonight, if you could stand with me, I want to really encourage us. You know, we might be in different places here tonight. Some of us are at the place where we need to respond to the call of God, to join the global family of God. You might be standing here tonight and you haven't yielded to the Lordship of Christ as Joshua had to at that place of just falling before him, acknowledging him as his Lord and as his commander. And some of you might have been, you know, you're in the family and you're going for God. But tonight there's a challenge of, okay, we've been going on about this family thing, and now we're going to move together somewhere and we're on a journey, if you could call it that. But am I really part of this thing? Have I committed to, I know this is where God has planted me. I know this is where he's rooted me. And I'm going to run with what he's doing here. And, so I just want to kind of trust God. I'm going to trust God with us tonight to find that place on the map. To say, okay, I'm here. The family is here. And God is taking the family there. And to kind of say, okay, Lord, to just respond. To take one step tonight to respond to God, what God is saying to you in your heart. To say, okay, I need to be in a family. And, Lord, I believe this one. And I'm taking the first step. I don't know how to get there. I don't know how to all the practical things happen. But I wanna say yes to what you're doing. I wanna take a step towards positioning myself for what you've prepared for us. So as I pray now, I'm gonna trust the Lord to speak to each of us, and then I'm gonna give an opportunity for you to respond. And even if it's just a step of faith to come forward, to step out, to say, God, okay, Lord, I recognize and I need to move. I recognize I need to position myself. Then take that step in boldness and know that God has made a way for you. Okay, let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord. Thank you for your word tonight, God. We thank you, Lord, for the ministry of your Spirit, Lord. We thank you that as we come and sit under your word, Holy Spirit, you minister to each one of us, Lord. You minister in a very special and very unique way, Lord. Now, Holy Spirit, I pray tonight that you would speak into every heart in this place, God. I thank you, Father, that you call us near to you again, Lord. You call us to yourself. And whether you're calling hearts to yourself this evening for the first time to come and yield to your Lordship, Lord, or whether you're calling us to take a step forward and say, Lord, I yield to your purpose and your plan. Or whether you call us to step forward and yield to and kind of to say, yes, God, I want to be a part of this family. I've been on the fringe, I've been on the outside, and I haven't felt really part of it, Lord, but tonight I recognize your call and I want to be a part of it and I want to step forward. I thank you, Lord, tonight that you You show each one of us where we're at on the map, Lord. And you give us a boldness to take that first step to where you want us to be, Father, where you are taking us, God. And Holy Spirit, I thank you, Lord, that it's not an effort, it's not a big striving from our side. It's literally just saying, yes, God, and allowing your strength to make perfect in our weakness, Lord. Yes, God. Lord, I just sense that the people here tonight that there's maybe one or two or more that there's certain areas of your life where God is not on the throne. And we all like to have those areas where we're in control and where we're in charge. And right now I just feel God wants to He's extending your hand. He said, just give that thing to me. Just give me charge. Give me control over that area of your life. Maybe there's hurt there. Maybe there's a reason why you're struggling to trust God in that area. Maybe there's a reason why you're holding on to that thing. But tonight I feel God is saying to just yield it to Him, to surrender that to Him and say, Lord, this is yours. I trust you. You are the King. You are Lord of all, over all in my life. Thank you, Father. Before we pray, is there anybody that wants to share a word or something on their heart? Okay. If you need to respond to what God has been saying, we're just going to have some ministry time now. And if you need to just take that step, that first step of positioning yourself, then I want you please to come to the front. Just as an act of obedience, say, yes, God, I hear what you're saying. And I'm willing to surrender to you in this thing. Whether that word is for you in terms of surrendering one part, or whether you fall in one of the categories I've been speaking about, if you could step out from your seat and come to the front, just to say, Lord, here I am. This is me. I'm responding to your word. And Lord will honor you and meet you right there where you're at.